It's time for Greg Dickerson and Mark James.
Game day coming to BC is like Greg Dickerson showing up.
I'm not smart, Tony, but I can sound smart.
Greg Dickerson.
I wish Trenny was my co-host.
There's a reason why you're not on the radio.
Guy doesn't have a blue check mark.
And Mark James.
Mark James with an M. He's correct.
Ian Kinsler is here to drop the ceremonial first puck.
Ian Buckner.
Mark with a C.
You are the man.
And you can't spell Marconi without the letters M-A-R-C.
It's time for Greg Dickerson and Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, well, well. Here we are in the final farewell show from the Guest Street Studios. The sexy, enthralling voice that you're hearing right now is that of me, Mark with a C, James, Greg Dickerson, late as always. He'll be late to his own funeral. He'll be here whenever he shows up. That's how he rolls. Dickerson and James. And this is sort of the end of an era. And I can't believe that they left it up to us that the final show ever will be in these studios. Kind of feels great. Also want to mention that Kirk came on Kirk and Callahan for the final time on Thursday, Kirk Minahan, and he was in just all-star form. If you missed it, I highly implore you to go back and listen to the podcast. As Minahan does what Minahan does best. And by the way, Dickerson and James, we are Minahan's favorite weekend show. He actually validated us on Twitter. I screen capped it from a long time ago. So there's that. And it was great to hear Kirk back on the station. And congratulations to him on his new endeavor, the radio.com app show that he's going to be doing, I believe, starting on Monday, which is going to be live, I think, every day from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So kudos to Kirk. What is it? When is it?
I believe it's January 2019. That's what the press release said.
Oh, January 2019. Oh, this Monday, January 2019. Same thing, whatever. All right, why even get, you know, mixed up on dates? But it was great to hear Kirk back on the airwaves. And congratulations to him on his future endeavors. I know if there's anybody who can take the radio.com app and take it to a new stratosphere, it's Kirk, because he's got the Minifans, and the Minifans are everywhere. So I'm very happy for him. It was great to hear him back on with Jerry and Mutt, and kudos to Mutt and Callahan, who that's the new morning show. And that's actually officially already started yesterday, Mutt and Callahan. So those guys will be here with you every day from 6 to 10 a.m. So I think those guys are going to do a fantastic job, just like I knew OMF would kill it an afternoon drive, and they already are. So kudos to everybody, especially Kirk Minahan. It's great to hear him back on the air. He was hilarious. Like, there was nothing. He did not pull punches. And, John, you know, I had you pull a couple of clips before the show. And let's just say that Kirk had no love loss for Dale Arnold. And if you missed any of that, John, do we have that?
Yes, it's ready.
Okay. Here's Kirk doing what Kirk does best.
Chapter 11 focuses on my relationship with Hal Gill. I'm going to say it right now. Phil Esposito, I hate his guts. I don't like him. I'm ranting.
Did you read the radio column? The radio chapter?
Yeah, typical. I mean, again, I would just say that Dale, like, he talks about how radio, like, he talked hockey all the time, and they moved him in that book from 2 to 6 to 10 to 2. So talking hockey doesn't work. He doesn't want to listen to me. He's still here. Good for him. I'm going head-to-head with him.
We all talked hockey for that whole year.
He did this past year and ranted and raved how we shouldn't do it. And he was wrong. He got moved from 2 to 6 to 10 to 2.
So there was Kirk. And if that's just a snippet of what you might have missed on Thursday from the final sort of Kirk and Callahan show where Kirk was on it. So if you missed, like, there's a lot of things that you want to get to and you want to say, hey, I missed that. I want to see it. Go check out the podcast. All right. The number to get in here is 617-779-7937. I want to thank, because good news, John Anderson, is that the Brugger's Bagels in Brookline, try saying that over and over again, is reopened. So I was able to go over there prior to the show and get a bagel. And I want to thank the two very nice young ladies that were. I had to see, the one thing about me, I was born and raised an only child, and I have an egregious sense of entitlement. And I believe that, you know, sort of like I got in there at about like 11:40. And if I had stayed in the line as it was, I would not have made the show on time. And my name is not Greg Dickerson. It's Mark James. So I have this sort of professionalism when it comes to punctuality. So the two nice ladies, thank you very much for letting me cut in front of you at Brugger's Bagel so I could get a bagel and get me fueled for the show. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of things I want to get to. I want to get to Mookie Betts winning the MVP. I want to get to J.D. Martinez still not being voted in the final three finalists for MVP. The fact that, John, you told me something that scared the hell out of me before this show, one of my biggest phobias, there's like a rat or a mouse running around here right now. Is that true?
Sorry, what did you say?
There's a rat or a mouse running around this like this area right now.
Yes, that is accurate. I don't know why you're so scared of it if you're such a big Modest Mouse fan.
Well, I am, but I just don't like them. I'm just, rats are my biggest phobia. They really are. Like, I cannot stand rats.
Speaking of rats, Greg Dickerson's here.
Oh, great. Tremendous. Oh, he's just going to grace us with his presence. Wow.
He's actually going to do the entire show from my studio, if you don't mind.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's going to do it in here. Are you kidding me? There's no way. He better do it right here.
He says you're a rat.
No, I'm definitely not. My name is not Whitey Bulger. I'm more Freddie Gius. I'm not Whitey Bulger. And we all know what happened to Whitey, with all due respect. Not a rat. So there's a rat or a mouse running around here, which is my phobia. So I'm a little bit on a heightened sense of self-awareness right now because it's my biggest phobia in the world. All right, I want to get to this. The Boston Celtics. Which team are they? Who is this team? Is this the team that we saw last night come back down in the fourth quarter? Brad Stevens calls a timeout. They're down by 86-78 with 10:24 left. Then they go on a 14-4 run. And they tie the game towards the end of regulation before sending it to overtime, where Kyrie Irving just put the team on his back. That's the Boston Celtics that we all thought we were going to see before the season. Now, I will tell you, I think we will see that team the more the season goes on. However, there's still a lot of things I don't like about this team. And Jaylen Brown last night had a horrible game. He started off strong, and then he shot 3 of 11. There's some things that I just look at this team right now that don't make sense. And last night, I'm wondering, is that the anomaly, or is that what we're going to see with this Celtics team from this point forward? 617-779-7937. Kyrie Irving, spectacular. Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving last night combined for over half the Celtics points. And the Garden was absolutely rocking. It felt like an Eastern Conference Finals game last night. And it should be, by all accounts, the Eastern Conference Finals. Because really, when you look at it, the Celtics and Toronto are probably the classes of the Eastern Conference when it comes down to it. I know Philadelphia traded for Jimmy Butler last weekend. I know Milwaukee has the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. But when it comes down to it, to me, when you look at the Celtics and you look at the Raptors, the thing about what everybody misunderstands when it came to Phil Jackson was like, oh, Phil Jackson was blessed with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and then, you know, he initially had Horace Grant and B.J. Armstrong, who were role players. Then he had Dennis Rodman and Tony Kukoc in the second three-peat with the Bulls. And then he had Kobe and Shaq with the Lakers. But there was a method to Phil Jackson's madness. He was able to manage egos. He was able to sort of manage rotations. And the one thing I haven't seen until Brad Stevens called a timeout last night with 10:24 left in the first quarter, I don't see Brad Stevens doing the things that needs to be done, because this team, listen, it's one of the things that we looked into this season that he now has what every coach's dream is, which is to have a plethora of talent. But with that talent, you have to be able to manage it. Now, Gordon Hayward played 39 minutes last night. He was absolutely great. He hit those two clutch free throws to tie the game in the last minute. And that's what Gordon Hayward's going to do. And to see him do that, that's a good step in the right direction for the Celtics, because Gordon Hayward, let's face it, has not been 100% at all this season whatsoever. But there's something still amiss with this Celtics team. They play really great at home when they want to, aside from the game against the Orlando Tragic. And then on the road, they just wet the bed, as you saw in their 1-4 road trip. So there's something that Brad Stevens, and that's the magic of TD Garden. The fans come out, the sixth man, and they support and they get the team riled up, and they're able to fuel a comeback. I mean, it looked like last night that the Toronto Raptors are going to run away with this game, especially in the fourth quarter. The Celtics, they did like in the towards really the entire third quarter, the Celtics came out lifeless. It looked like Brad Stevens didn't make any halftime adjustments whatsoever. And then he calls a timeout, down 8, 86-78 with 10:24 to go in the game in regulation. And all of a sudden, things start moving. And they're getting ball movement. And I'm going to tell you, the most consistent, the second best player on the Celtics team all season long, and you might think I'm crazy for saying this, in terms of consistency, has been Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris. He has been everything that Jason Tatum has not. Now, Jason Tatum had a nice game last night. But there's a part of me that wonders with Jason Tatum. Ever since hanging out with Kobe, all he seems to want to do is get off every shot he can, no matter how crazy it is. And he's become a little bit of a ball stopper. And for everybody out there who talked about, and even Kyrie himself last week mentioned, after the 5-game road trip, said, well, maybe we need a veteran who's been in the league 14, 15 years or whatever, and I thought he was alluding to the soon-to-be-released and now-released Carmelo Anthony. Folks, the Boston Celtics need a lot of things in terms of being able to fix this team to where they're just transcendent. No matter what they do, they come out, and no matter how bad they play, they're going to win games. They're not there yet. And you talk about sense of entitlement, I feel as though this team has had that all season long, which is why they haven't played up to the preseason expectations. Toronto's still a better team than them. And Toronto, aside from Kawhi Leonard, they don't have a fraction of the talent the Celtics do. Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Pascal Siakam, if you know who that guy is, they don't have anywhere near DeLon Wright. They have a dude by the name of Nick Nurse. Oh, by the way, when Nick Nurse came out of the Toronto's locker room last night, he was F-bombing the refs. Not to their faces, of course, but basically F-bombing them and how the Celtics got every call down the stretch. Hey, that's the NBA for you, Nick Nurse. I don't even know. I never even heard of this guy. You need to Google who the Toronto Raptors head coach was. And I can't believe they fired Dwayne Casey because of DeMar DeRozan. Now DeMar DeRozan's gone. So their best coach is no longer there. But there's something still amiss with this Celtics team. And I watched them, and last night to me, yeah, that was what we were used to seeing last year, was last night. But there's something when I watch this team, there's just something amiss. And I don't know if Danny's got to make a deal, and he's got to trade Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier. And speaking of, guys who just all they want to do is come in the game and get their shots, who become ball stoppers. Every time they get the ball, become a virtual black hole. Terry Rozier. And he let that scary Terry and his Puma endorsement go to his head, because that guy has been absolute garbage all season long. And dude, I know you want to get minutes, but you have one of the top 8 to 10 players in the NBA in front of you. His name is Kyrie Irving, Terry. You're not as good as Kyrie Irving. You never will be as good as Kyrie Irving. And you're going to have to deal with the fact that Kyrie Irving is much better than you, and he's healthy now, thankfully. Scary Terry, not the same from last year. Jason Tatum, yeah, I like the Jason Tatum I saw last night. I don't like the Jason Tatum who I saw that is constantly all season long. He got benched in the game against Phoenix. Do you remember that? Stevens took him out against one of the worst teams in the NBA because he couldn't get anything going. The Phoenix Suns, that I wonder if they could beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. So this team is not that guaranteed shoe-in to play Golden State in the NBA Finals. They're not. I'm still saying Toronto's better than they are, despite what happened last night. And if the Celtics don't have home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals and they're facing a team like Toronto, I'm not betting on the Celtics whatsoever. I don't trust this team right now. They have a lot to improve on. And when the second best player, the second most consistent player on your team all season long has been Marcus Morris, you've got a problem. You've got a major problem that needs to be fixed ASAP. 617-779-7937. Patriots, absolute, speaking of garbage, absolute garbage last week. And now everybody wants to point the finger at Tom Brady. And Tom Brady not looking like the MVP version last year. He's starting to show that he's 41 years old. He's got one touchdown pass in the past three games. And I hope there's no more coaches out there, and thankfully there aren't any ex-Belichick players or assistant coaches that the Patriots have to play the rest of the year. Because the Patriots looked like absolute dog crap against the Detroit Lions and the Tennessee Titans, Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel. And you don't ever see Bill Belichick get out coach, especially in a game in November, the way the Patriots did. That was one of the worst losses in the Brady-Belichick era in the second half of the season that I ever saw last weekend. And there is just something right now. You talk about being wrong with this team. I look at the Patriots. Chris Hogan, you know, when he goes on Sunday football, he says Penn State lacrosse. Yeah, maybe you should go into becoming a professional lacrosse player. Because Malcolm Butler, the guy who gave up the most touchdown passes of any corner in the NFL prior to last Sunday, Malcolm Butler shut you down. Completely shut you down. And if it's not for James White, there's no reliable weapon on offense now that Gronkowski's hurt. And hopefully, with Gronk being out the last two games, including the bye week this weekend, that Gronk will be able to get back to where he was. Because this team is in dire need of Rob Gronkowski. And defensively, wow. I mean, Stephon Gilmore, you got absolutely shredded by Corey Davis. Shredded. And never did I think in a game Marcus Mariota would look better than Tom Brady. That happened last Sunday, and it wasn't even close to where they had to bring in the human victory cigar or the human white towel, Brian Hoyer, at the end of the game. That's how bad things got for the Patriots. And Bill needs to get this bleep fixed ASAP as well. Because this team, they got four games left against AFC East opponents. They got Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Minnesota here, Pittsburgh on the road. And I don't know why the Patriots always draw Pittsburgh on the road, but that's where it is. And this Pittsburgh team right now is playing much better than the Patriots. I'm looking at the Patriots right now. I said before the season began, the last team to lose a Super Bowl and go back to the Super Bowl the following year was the 1993 Buffalo Bills. It's been 25 going on 26 seasons. And I don't think it's going to happen this year. I picked Houston to get to the Super Bowl. And they are red hot right now. I don't trust this Patriots team. And when Corey Davis is absolutely destroying your number one corner, Stephon Gilmore, that's a bad look. That's a really... When Marcus Mariota is doing whatever he wants to do against this Patriots defense, it's a bad look. They cannot get any consistent pressure off the edge all season long, and it's been pathetic. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. We are Dickerson and James. Dickerson's still not here.
He's hanging out.
I thought you said he was here.
Yeah, he is here. I said he's hanging out.
Oh, wait a second. He's actually there?
Yes. What, do you think I was lying?
Yeah, I thought you were. Why is he not talking?
Him and I were catching up. Him and I actually, every once in a while, we meet to discuss you.
Oh, okay. Dickerson, get on the air, you idiot.
He doesn't want to interrupt you. He's sitting right here.
All right, we'll come back. Dickerson and James next.
Chapter 11 focuses on my relationship with Hal.
Other than Daniel.
I'm going to say it right now. Phil Esposito, I hate his guts. I don't like him. I'm ranting.
Did you read the radio column? The radio chapter?
Yeah, typical. I mean, again, I would just say the day, like, he talks about how radio, like, he talked hockey all the time, and they moved him in that book from 2 to 6 to 10 to 2. So talking hockey doesn't work. He doesn't want to listen to me. He's still here. Good for him. I'm going head to head with him.
We all talked hockey for that whole year.
No, he did. He did this past year and ranted and raved how we shouldn't do it. And he was wrong. He got moved from 2 to 6 to 10 to 2.
That's the great Kirk Minahan with his brand new future endeavor starting in January. Radio.com app, if anybody can take radio.com to another level. It's the man, Minahan. And Greg Dickerson is here.
Just suck up to him more, will you? He's gone, okay? He's
you know,
gone.
I just...
Move on. He's gone.
You know.
Next.
Yeah, okay.
Stop,
he's still in the building.
Stop Dale like that.
He's still
like
in the building.
Friend.
Kirk is still in the building. Listen, Kirk is Kirk. He's good. You know one thing about Minahan? He's going to tell it like it is.
Yeah, that's true. And I know that a lot of you are afraid of Kirk, and you're all scaredy. And, Kirk said jump. Okay, how high? Yeah. I like Kirk, too. He's great on the radio. The morning show is takes a small hit for now.
Yeah,
you know,
but I think Mutt and Jerry will be fine.
They'll be great.
They're gonna be great together.
Be great. Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
I believe that. I think they.
I think everything at this station is great. As a matter of fact, Mark, I love everybody here.
You do.
Yes, I'm not in the position where I can hate on somebody here, so I love everybody.
You do.
I need all the fill-in shifts I can get.
That's not what you said to me off the air, but that's okay.
What I said to you off the air was I don't like coming in the middle of a segment, so that's why I was waiting to come in. And also, I said I didn't want to spend. Too much time in this rat-infested. The CDC would literally have a field day in this place. There are third world countries that don't have as many communicable diseases
right.
as this friggin'
brothels
hellhole
yeah.
has right now.
It's I know.
Embarrassing that we're in here.
So you've been. Let me just say this: we're going to do the final farewell show from the Guest Street Studios.
I've been here. I've been doing shows here since we moved here, and God, probably 99-ish, 2000.
So, of all the memories, good, bad, ugly, whatever. Give me your fondest memories of this place.
Fondest memories?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. There isn't one. Well,
there isn't one.
Well, there was a time that Glenn ripped a producer.
Really.
Okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. I should be more specific, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, there was the other time Glenn ripped a producer.
Okay.
There was the time that Jerry and Dino yelled at a producer. Oh, wait a minute. No, I got to be more specific about that, too.
Okay.
There isn't a, you know, it's funny. There isn't a seminal moment about this place. It's not like I can tell you about the seminal moment of the studio I used to work at out in Westboro where we had Opie and Anthony. You remember those guys?
Wow.
Opie and Anthony?
Really?
They worked right next door to us. We were in Tangway and I were in the AM studio. They were in the FM studio of AAF, and they used to have strippers come in all the time. They'd do boob art, you know, boob art.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Chicks would take their tops off. They'd paint them, and then they'd, you know, slap a canvas on them, and that was boob art. And we used to see those things all the time. We saw somebody, stripper caught. No, that was here. Stripper caught fire here once. I think that was here.
Caught fire here?
During Dennis and Callahan. If I remember. Not, she didn't catch fire, but something caught fire in here. I think it was this particular studio, if I remember. I might be mixing it up with the old place, but I wasn't here for that particular one. But there isn't a seminal moment that, oh, my God, remember, June 15th, 2002. You know what the seminal moment is for me?
What?
Seminal moment in this studio is...
3 o'clock today?
2:57, big man. He's working with my old partner, John Wallach, here.
Oh, okay.
And, they called us in, the old program director at the time. It's Patriots and Rams, Super Bowl. And they call us at about 10 o'clock. Hey, we want to do an overnight show. Can you guys come in? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Meanwhile, I'm at a bar in Watertown just, you know, getting slosh watching the game. And I just come in here just stinking of alcohol, just stinking of booze and did 4 hours of a show here.
That's crazy. So that right after the Patriots up, the greatest show on turf?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We came in and we took over for the real post-game show, and we did like 2 to 6, and I just reeking alcohol.
Well, then, no, you know, I thought you said you did after the game was over.
I did after the game.
Okay.
It was the real post-game show, and then it was us.
Okay.
2 to 6 in the morning.
2 to 6 in the morning?
Yeah, we did the overnight.
Holy.
We did the overnight right up until Dennis and Callahan.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know Opie and Anthony were in Boston.
Yeah, they were at BCN.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, they were at AAF, and then they went to BCN.
Wow.
After they got fired, and then they went to BCN eventually.
That's crazy, man. Here's my first memory of the station. Was about a decade ago. I was at the University of Miami, and I literally came here without an appointment or anything. Jason Wolf was the program director.
Brother, what's up?
Jason Wolf was a program director, and I came here just to hand him my demo. I was in sports radio. I just started in sports radio. And I handed him my demo. And then as I'm walking out, literally, I kid you not, 4 minutes before his show began at 2 o'clock, the big show, here comes Glenn Ordway walking in.
Listen, get out of the way. Hey, who are you? Get out of my way, kid. Excuse me, Mr. Ordway, Mark. I don't care.
Yeah.
Are you somebody that can help me out in my career? In my show? No, you're nobody? Get out of the way. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know Lou Maloney, too. It doesn't matter. I would never work with him.
Yeah.
He is a has-been.
So
he crapped his pants in the second half.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Lou Maloney, why would I ever work with a nobody infielder like him?
Is that what Glenn said?
He's just a backup infielder. He can't even stay in Boston. I'm in Boston full
let's
time.
Let's start with the bullpen.
So that was my first memory. My first show I ever did here was April of last year. I came in and I was interviewing at Nesson. And I came in and did a show by myself from 6 to 10 at night. Mutt was out that night. Hard for you to believe that.
Hard to believe
Very
that.
Hard to believe that. And I did it. So that was my first man. That was last year. 1999, really?
I started here when we used to be on Huntington Ave in 97, I think it was.
Huntington Ave, where?
Well, Huntington Ave in Boston, down by the Symphony.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
What's the hotel with the pool up top? You would know.
I don't know.
You're one of those people.
No, I'm not one of those
people. You don't go to the rooftop hotel? I can't think of the name of the rooftop
Dude, I've never even been to Abe and Louie's, bro.
Well, I haven't either.
Oh, okay.
It's not my...
Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, that's above my pay grade. All right. Dickerson is here. 617-779-7937. I want to get your thoughts, too.
On
the whole thing about Kirk going to Ray. You didn't really get... You kind of just said some stuff, but you didn't really get...
Well, what do you want me to say?
Well, just...
What are my thoughts?
Yeah.
You know, I think, as I said, I think the station is less off for it, but I think we will eventually,
persevere.
Yeah, I think we'll eventually persevere and everything will be fine. We may take a hit. Yeah, sure, because Kirk was that great.
Huge following.
I would say this. Kirk is a huge reason why fortunes at this station turned around.
Absolutely.
A huge reason.
Absolutely.
But you know what? People come and go. Nobody's irreplaceable.
Except Howard Stern.
Fine. He's the one guy. Everybody can be replaced.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I found that out.
What about Gary Tengway? Is he replaceable?
He's replaceable. Okay. Yeah. Very replaceable.
Okay.
Very, 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 very replaceable.
Got it.
And I think Kirk will be great.
The party is up and running.
Hey,
I think he'll be great in the new venture. It's a perfect spot for him.
It is. And he won't be governed by the FCC. And he's going to be able to say what he wants and do what he wants.
And in the end, I don't really give a crap. I almost said a bad word. I almost said the S word. Okay. I changed it in my mind. Okay. I don't really give a crap because he doesn't like me, didn't want me on his show.
What are you talking about?
Made sure I wasn't on his show.
Dickerson wasn't participating much.
He wasn't too into it, no.
No, wait a second. I thought you were on their show.
I was when he was away on his medical.
He didn't want you on their show?
No. No, which is fine. It was half his show, which is fine.
Why didn't he want you on the show?
He just didn't like what I added to the show. He doesn't like me, so that's fine. Uh-huh. I don't think he has anything personally wrong with.
Yeah, I don't.
Wrong
think,
with me?
Yeah, because he likes this show.
Yeah, but he doesn't like me on the show, so which is fine. So in the end, I don't really. It's good for me. So maybe I'll get more airtime.
Okay, there
maybe
you
I'll
go.
Get more fill-ins on the morning show.
There you go. 617-779-7937.
I should say this as someone who deals with mental health issues. I hope that. Before he goes back on, that the ship is righted and everything is as close to 100% as possible with him in his personal life.
You got it. All right, we come back. I'll promise all the people.
We're taking a break? I just started.
We
got a break already?
Yeah, well, you let me do an entire segment by myself.
I didn't want to interrupt you. You were like going a mile a minute.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
I'm not going to interrupt genius.
All right, fair enough.
Did Picasso have some guy walk over and say, hey, why don't you take a break from that?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Fair enough. We will get to, I promise, we're getting to your phone calls next. 617-779-7937. Dickerson, also going to find out from Dickerson, what's up with the Celtics? The whole season-wise, not just last night. We'll find out next right here on Dickerson and James.
It's the Irving. For three. Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving from way downtown, and the game is tied.
We just had to dig deep. We had to dig deep and find a way to win.
Double team rounds at home. He's got 35.
I'm glad he's on our side, man. We came out. We didn't play as good as we could have played, and we still got the win. So Kyrie played, had a hell of a game, ball game. Ball goes in.
Irving shaking back to the rim, banks it home again. Irving to Horford, baseline, got it. Irving scoots inside, throws it up. Horford comes down and throws it down. And that'll do it with 18.9 remaining.
Hey, everyone counts. We need them all. So everyone counts. This is a good one. I appreciate the crowd for coming out. Let's get another one tomorrow.
So there you go. There you go. Last night. I didn't think we'd come back with a little Men at Work bumper, but there we go.
As you got it?
Yeah, yeah, I got it. I got it.
We're men and we're working.
Well, I think it was Aaron Baines.
Down
maybe?
Under.
Was Aaron Baines?
Oh, no, Kyrie Irving was born in Australia.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's right. That's that. Right. 123-116 overtime.
John, make it easy on us, please.
Yeah, please
do. We're not that smart, John.
Yeah,
the only ones you guys get is when it's from Reservoir Dogs.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's a Mark thing.
Yeah, 617-779-7937 to get in. Celtics, your thoughts on last night's game and the totality of the season?
The totality of the season has been a disappointment.
Totally.
I didn't put any stock into the win over Chicago. I know some people did. Okay, maybe this is going to turn them around. That was a great game. It was Chicago. It was a
crappy
basketball team.
Awful team.
Last night showed me something. Last night showed me a lot, but still in the end, it was really one guy. It was won by Kyrie Irving. I still, you know, you saw a pretty good game last night out of Jason Tatum. I don't know what is flowing through the head of Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown just does not seem to be nearly as aggressive as he once was a year ago. He had 7 points, I think, in the first quarter and didn't score after that at all. There's no aggression offensively from him. We saw the, you know, it's funny. Irving said to, I think it was Lisa Salter on ESPN after the game last night, that, you know, he wanted to be more aggressive. He wanted to go to the basket, made it a point of going to the basket. I think that's what you have to see out of him and out of Tatum and out of Brown every single game. They've been so passive on offense for a good part of the season. Tonight will be interesting. Second half of a back-to-back. Utah played an overtime game last night
in Philadelphia.
And ended up losing, but that was a hell of a game. I was flipping back and forth between the two because that was such a good game. You go and win this game tonight, I think you go a long way towards sort of righting the ship in a tough stretch.
I don't know why. It seems like Stevens needs to get better control of this team in terms of their rotations.
He's trying to figure them out right now. I mean, it is, and I'll be the first one to say that I usually take 20 or so games to really decide on a team and try and figure a team out and get a good handle on a team. But with him, I think he's trying to figure out, okay, exactly which buttons can I press, which combinations can I use, which combinations are a best fit, and he's still trying to figure that out.
Celtics, if the playoffs started today, they're a 4 seed against the Sixers.
But guess what? You know what?
They don't start
today. They don't start today,
I got
correct.
You. Okay. Fair enough. 617-779-7937 to get in. Let's go to David in Wilmington. Thanks for holding, David.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, David.
Hi, David.
You know, I've been following Boston sports for a long time, and usually when you have an athlete that's retiring, and I specifically remember Yastrzemski, but most guys tell you when they get older, you have to work harder to keep up with the younger guys and stay in shape. And we have two guys here, Brady and Gronk, that are getting a little older, and they both of them took the summer off to spend time with their family.
Well, they didn't take the summer off. Brady did not go to OTAs.
He was the only starting quarterback who didn't attend the voluntary offseason programs.
But he didn't take the whole summer off. He didn't take the whole summer off.
I'm just trying to correct the point.
He was at training camp, and Tom Brady doesn't just sit at home in Brookline and eat bonbons off his stomach like the rest of us do. He's still doing things and still working out and still putting in the time.
So, David, your point is basically these guys haven't worked hard enough, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you have to question it when you look at what's going on in the field right now. I'm not saying that it's the reason, but I'm just saying you do have to question it.
I don't think there's any question with Rob Gronkowski. He's banged up. He's injured. That's the way it is with Rob Gronkowski, and that's the way it will be for as long as he decides to play in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't think it has anything to do with Gronk being lazy or missing time or not working hard. I think Gronk works very hard.
If you have a quarterback and the timing's not quite right, you know, he's not hitting receivers, you know, you said one touchdown in three games, you have to question that.
Yeah, and
I don't understand what's the question.
He has one touchdown pass in three games.
Not spending time with the teammates, with the working with patterns and working with timing.
You don't think that there's already timing with Rod Gronkowski, that's already built in between the two?
And David
Gronk just not getting open.
What about Hogan? The timing's not there. The timing.
But I think that's more on Hogan, David, than it is Brady.
It could be. I'm just saying you have to.
You got to put in the time. And listen, David, this is like the only year. I think one year him and Giselle were moving into their new palatial estate in L.A. in Brentwood. And that was it. And, you know, one year he was also having a baby. But he was the only starting quarterback in the NFL who missed all of his team's voluntary offseason programs.
I didn't think it was a good look at the time. I thought it was a terrible look, and I thought he should have been there. And I don't buy into the whole, you know, family. I think the family thing can be an excuse because it's football.
You've got to remember, though, he's 41 now, too. It's different now than when he was 5 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think football means as much to him now as it did 10 years ago.
Well, and he clearly admitted that.
Normal.
And, David, he admitted that when he did the, like, Tom versus Time in the final episode. Why are we doing this? I know it was after the Super Bowl, and I know he was still very emotional from that, but I do think that, you know, family is more of a priority for him than football when and that's fine because, you know, most guys will tell you family over football, but at the end of the day, there aren't many athletes out there 41 years old. Hey, Drew Brees is almost as old as Tom Brady. I don't see Drew Brees slowing down anytime soon right now. Matter of fact, I will say this. Thanks for the phone call, David. If you had a prop wager bet of which quarterback will last to 45 years old, Tom Brady or Drew Brees today?
I'll still give you Tom Brady.
You will?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to let an average season all of a sudden. How about this? I would bet neither one of them. How about that?
Well, yeah,
I bet
neither
one of them?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one of the two, I'd still go with Brady. I'd still go with Brady because he has said it in the past that he wants to do that, or at least in the past he's said that he wanted to do that. I've never heard Brees say that. And, you know, it's Mark, you get to 41, 42, 40, 39. It's tricky. You just never know when that last snap's going to come. You never know when all of a sudden, boom, the light's going to click on. And you realize, hey, wait a minute. My body's not moving like it was a year ago. Or, you know, I'm not throwing, I'm not doing something that I was able to do 10 months ago. So you just don't know. Could happen at 39, could happen at 40. Hell, it happens with some guys. Maybe it's happening to Aaron Rodgers now.
Oh, Aaron
Rodgers not having a good season at all.
No, not at all. I'm glad you mentioned
it. And he's, 34, 35?
Yeah. And here's the one thing with Aaron Rodgers, too, that you could see the other night. Did you watch the game against Seattle the other night?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Troy Aikman, who is not critical of, highly critical of quarterbacks, he did not pull any punches last night on Aaron Rodgers. And there were times where Green Bay was set up 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4, Aaron Rodgers was thrown at the feet of wide receivers.
Well, he threw at the feet of, I forget who it was on Valdez, the 32 play.
Valdez Scalding or whatever.
At the very end of the game, the third down play.
Said the ball got stuck to his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you look at Aaron Rodgers is clear. And here's another thing for Aaron Rodgers. You look at the quarterbacks that he's beaten this season. He's beaten Mitch Trubisky, Josh Allen, C.J. Beathard, and Brock Osweiler. The quarterbacks he's lost to, Alex Smith, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson.
What was that win list again? Trubisky?
Trubisky, Josh Allen, C.J. Beathard, and Brock Osweiler.
God.
Because I think Rodgers is better than Brady.
Right, yeah.
But he's not done.
No.
He hasn't fallen off a cliff, though.
No.
Wouldn't ever consider or say that he'd be falling off a cliff, because there's just no way that he would be. And by the way, when Mitch Trubisky is the best of a lot of quarterbacks, you know the rest stink.
No doubt.
Aaron Rodgers has been majestic.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Who was that?
That was, what's his name? Adam Schein.
Oh, is that Adam Schein?
Who's
Adam? Oh, he's the director. He does the red zone stuff, doesn't he?
I don't know.
He does
a show. Last time I checked on Sirius XM NFL. Tom Brady, look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the last time this guy won a meaningful postseason game was 2010.
Yeah, but that's not a sexy story, number one. And it may be at some point in time, but it's not a sexy story. And number two, the moron national people who really don't watch the games. And I'm still waiting for Rob Parker to tell me exactly what Patriot beat writer sent out the tweet last week about Brady. Oh, God, what was the tweet about? What was the line? But basically, he said, oh, Patriot beat writer.
Throwing knuckleballs.
Say that again? Throwing knuckleballs.
Yeah.
I'd like to know which Patriot beat writer did say that, because I still haven't found it
no,
on Twitter.
Neither have I.
And I haven't heard him say it on the morning show the other day. Or on that, no, he was on with OMF. Sorry.
But here's the thing. When Aaron Rodgers loses a game, the apologists come out of the woodwork. Oh, it's Mike McCarthy. You know, Aaron Rodgers this year has been absolutely garbage in the fourth quarter. He's great for the first three quarters. In the fourth, he absolutely sucks. But yet nobody comes out and trashes Aaron Rodgers the way they do. Matter of fact, in the fourth quarter this year versus Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers has a 42% completion percentage, 82 yards, 62 passer rating, and zero touchdown passes. But nobody mentions that. No, Aaron Rodgers, it's like he gets that Brett Favre, but people defend him in the media. Oh, my God.
Oh, they'll get to him. They'll get to him at some point in time.
Did you see that pass he threw the other night to Devontae Adams and people fall in love with him?
Right, because he's sexy. Because he's sexy.
Oh, because
he makes the big
Danica
scramble
Patrick.
Play and throws it 55 yards down the field, where Brady is just dinking and dunking, making the safe play and throwing it 12 yards over here on a slant to Edelman. It's not sexy. Plus, so many of the national people, they want to be right. Or they want to think that they're right because they said that, well, Brady's slowing down. He's falling off a cliff. Brady's not going to be good anymore. The end is coming. They all said that 3 or 4 years ago. And they desperately want to be right.
Tom Brady may have thrown his final touchdown pass for the New England Patriots.
That was Rob Parker. That was Rob Parker. May have thrown his final touchdown pass.
Wrote a whole column about it, too.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Again, for those of you.
I won't be reading it, John, so you don't have to print it.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Actually, you'll print it up for me?
They should be in there. I think Larry threw it in the trash, though.
I'll wash my backside with it after work. Can you do that? Thank you.
By the way, just for those of you just joining us, let me repeat that again. Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter of this season versus Tom Brady and Russell Wilson completed 42% of his passes for a total of 82 yards, 62 passer rating, zero touchdown passes.
Do you think if I took some of the junk in the studio, they would know it's missing?
No.
Like a computer or something?
No.
Not that I really want to.
No.
I just want to see. I just want to see if they know anything's missing, if they even care or check it out.
I don't think they would. You know one thing I'd like to get? Oh, what did you just throw at me? Oh,
a devil dog.
Devil dogs. Well, we'll leave that down there
for the devil dogs in the studio.
For the rats.
Yeah, throw it to the rats.
Yeah, let's leave it down there for the rats. For the rats.
Come here, you.
Yeah.
Come here.
Yeah, I started my career at some station in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And that was better than this one.
No, it wasn't better than this one, but there were rats in and around that station, and here I am.
Plenty of rats here, too. They're just not in the studio right
now. Oh. You want to say any names? Do you want to mention any names?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No, just kidding.
Oh.
It's just a joke. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, you're
just needling people, that's all.
Yeah, you're the Dale apologist, so.
I like
you're the Dale defender.
I like everybody.
You do.
I like everybody.
Not although you don't
From Jerry.
That's not what you said about
all the way to anybody else.
Okay, that's not
Craig
what you
Mustard.
That's not what you said about the weekend producers, though.
Oh, the producers suck. Producers can't help me.
Okay.
Well, what good do they do for me? They're nobodies. The on-air talent, they can help me further my career. What's left of it?
So basically, you're pulling a Glenn Ordway then.
Oh, I learned from the best.
Okay,
Mark.
I got
Please.
You. 617.
I had studied under the Ordway thesaurus, the Ordway book.
617-779-7937, Brady versus Rodgers. What is wrong with the Patriots? Because this team is clearly nowhere. Listen, we know they have these games every September, but in November on the road against an inferior Titans team to get destroyed 34-10 is inexcusable, unacceptable, and pathetic. We'll get your thoughts on that. 617-779-7937, Dickerson and James.